Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
And the A to Z of Merseyside football with John Keith returns right here, right now. Last week we covered off Bruce Grobbelaar, one of the great G's, but we've got many more to come. Hello, John.
Hello, Steve. Well, yes, this morning we talk about Louis Garcia. Now, whenever his name's mentioned, the immediate response from Liverpool fans is to recall the so-called ghost goal he was credited with against newly crowned league title winners Chelsea in the Champions League semi-final, second leg at Anfield, in May 2005. And that was a defining moment in Garcia's career and ultimately, of course, in Liverpool history. With the tie goalless after the first leg at Stamford Bridge, there are only 4 minutes on the clock at Anfield when Chelsea goalkeeper Petr Cech brought down Milan Baroš at the Kop end for what appeared a blatant penalty. But Slovakian referee Michel Lubos allowed play to continue, then awarded a goal for Garcia's shot, which was hacked away by William Gallas. Now, later film evidence showed the ball had not crossed the line, something today's VAR trials would have confirmed.
Everyone's shouting at their radio now, John. How do you know?
Well, we saw the film later. But if the referee had disallowed the goal, he'd surely had to award a penalty and send off Cech. That's always been conveniently forgotten by Chelsea manager, then Chelsea manager, Jose Mourinho, who's persistently maintained his side were robbed because the goal shouldn't have stood. Now, Garcia reflects, it was probably not the best goal of my career, but probably the most important. For me, it was in. That's how I celebrated. You can see from pictures that at that moment, I threw my head back as I saw the ball going in. I've heard that Mourinho was still saying the ball didn't cross the line. What I do know is that I think it was better for Chelsea that the goal was given rather than the referee giving us a penalty and then sending off their keeper. It's the game I remember the most exciting of my career. I remember the feeling. It was fantastic to be able to give the people that moment of happiness.
John, it would even be better if it hadn't crossed the line. Let's face it.
Yes.
That exactly. Liverpool had gone through and it hadn't crossed the line, given it was Jose Mourinho and Chelsea.
Well, exactly. Well, as I say, film evidence showed it didn't, but that's by the by now. And anyway, they would have been down to 10 men and had a penalty.
And so lost anyway.
And probably lost anyway. But of course, when Garcia talks about that moment of happiness, the joy for Liverpool fans was threatened in the 6th minute of added time. You might remember Ida Gudjonsson's volleyed equalising attempt flew narrowly across the face of Jerzy Dudek's goal, but it didn't go in, and Rafael Benitez's side had reached the final, where they performed the so-called miracle of Istanbul, recovering from 3-0 down against AC Milan, winning on penalties and landing the European Cup for the 5th time in the club's history. Luis Javier Garcia Sanz, to give him his full name, was born in Badalona in the Catalonia region of Spain in June 1978, began his career as an amateur with Barcelona, turning professional in the summer of 1996. After being loaned to a number of Spanish clubs, Barcelona sold him to Atletico Madrid in 2002, but then activated a clause to take him back to the Nou Camp a season later. In August 2004, Benitez, an admirer of Garcia's versatile talent as a naturally left-footed schemer who was able to play left, right or centrally, paid Barcelona £6 million to take him to Liverpool. His first season culminated in the heady triumph of Istanbul, with Garcia preceding his decisive strike against Chelsea with a spectacular goal against Juventus in the quarter-final first leg, which ensured Liverpool's passage to the semi on a 2-1 aggregate. Garcia hit a hat-trick on his first start for Spain, a World Cup qualifying playoff against Slovakia in November 2005, and went on to win 20 caps and appear at the 2006 World Cup finals. He also played 5 times for Catalonia, scoring 3 goals. And after scoring 30 goals in 121 Liverpool appearances, he returned to Spain in a £4 million move to Atletico Madrid in July 2007 and faced his former club Liverpool in both legs of the Champions League clash in 2008. He later played for Racing Santander, Panathinaikos, Mexican clubs Puebla and Pumas UNA, Atletico Kolkata in India and Australian side Central Coast Mariners before retiring. Now, the next player to feature under the letter G...
Can I just give you my favourite Louis Garcia
moment? Please do, Steve, yeah.
...is his goal at Old Trafford in the FA Cup semi-final. What an atmosphere and what a... I mean, I love the ghost goal. It's brilliant. Mm. And Louis was one of those who could infuriate much as excite.
Yes.
I mean, I remember Liverpool fans ranting about Luis Garcia.
He tested their patience at
absolutely
times. But his skill was, there was no mistake about that. Mm. And I thought he was a terrific addition to Benitez's team, actually.
Lovely young gentleman. And the Juventus goal as well. Wow.
Well, exactly.
Left with
and
three
there's no
there,
doubt
then.
About that.
Yeah.
One.
No.
That's still travelling somewhere.
That was unbelievable. Yeah. Right, go on to your next G.
Well, the next player to feature on the letter G is Torrance, known as Torry Gillick, a winger who could operate on either flank, who made an £8,000 move from Glasgow Rangers to Everton in December 1935. Gillick was described as a wiry winger, a natural entertainer and an exhilarating sight in full flight. He'd won the Scottish double with Rangers in 1934-35 and was a member of the Everton side that landed the 38-39 league title. That was the last season before the outbreak of the Second World War, and one in which Dixie Dean's successor, Tommy Lawton, hit a scorching 34 goals in 38 league games as the top flight's leading scorer for the second successive campaign. Having switched to take the departed Albert Geldard's place on the right flank, Gillick missed only two of Everton's 42 league matches in that title-winning campaign and scored 14 goals, including the last one of their triumphant season against Aston Villa. He ended his Goodison career with 44 goals from 133 appearances, a great ratio for a winger, and later in 1939 survived a blaze when he was in the garage of his Aintree home as his car ignited, setting fire to his clothing. His wife's quick thinking saved his life, and after hospital treatment, Gillick made a full recovery. He was capped five times by Scotland and played in three wartime internationals against England. He later returned to Ibrox and helped Rangers win three more league titles between 1946 and 1950, and after his retirement in 1952, managed a scrap metal company in Lanarkshire. So another one of those fine wingers Everton had between the wars, Steve.
Some unbelievable Everton players that we've gone through. Honestly, the list goes on and on. But obviously the G's there, and there's more to come. And who are we looking at within the rest of the series?
Well, we've got somebody called Stephen Gerrard to come yet, Steve. We've got Gary Gillespie. We've got Charlie G and Fred Geary. Thomas Graveson. Andy Gray. So there's a lot to get through.
Super stuff. A to Z of Merseyside Football. John Keith brings it to you each and every week right here on Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.